We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Shut up!
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. I'm Alex Kirshner. I'm here with Richard Johnson. Richard, hello, how are you?
Tired.
I bet you are. And Stephen Godfrey, here with you as well. How are you, sir?
Reading my DMs, which is not a good idea.
just perusing? Taking a stroll through the DM.
Hail to the victor.
It's been an interesting week
today
for sure.
Is me.
Ugh, it's boy. Been an interesting week. We alluded to this on the main show this week, but we haven't had a chance yet to talk about the Michigan sign stealing investigation. And we were waiting for a reason, which is that both of my colleagues here, Richard and Steven, have been doing some pretty extensive work on this. Steven, you just published a column about it at the Washington Post. And Richard, you just broke news about this story within the last 30 minutes at Sports Illustrated, where you are a staff writer. I'll briefly summarize your report, and then I want you to kind of go into the details. You have reported that Connor Stallions, who was the Michigan support staffer who is alleged to have been at the center of a sign stealing operation that has infuriated basically the entire Big Ten, was basically a Michigan super fan who bragged quite a bit to other people in text messages about his closeness to the Michigan coaching staff, and who at one point published something that is referred to as, quote, a manifesto on how Michigan's football program should be run. And also, it seems like he might have like joined the military so that he could be an asset to Michigan football. We should all find something we love as much as Connor Stein seems to love Michigan. Great reporting. It's obviously getting quite a bit of reaction right now because it's getting quite a bit of reaction because it's kind of gobsmacking. Before we go further, why don't you tell me a bit about, you know, your process here? You can, of course, protect your sources, but explain sort of what you have learned and how you've come into this story about Connor Stallions.
Yeah. All right. So if we want to do Inside the Actor's Studio here, the reason why this is a separate podcast episode and not a and wasn't in the Big Show is because both Godfrey and I, as you can see from the Big Show recording most recently posted, are basically dealing with edit notes during the entire episode. I am like texting and emailing my editors. I am forwarding the statements that we got from a couple schools this morning. Like I am. So long story short, Friday morning, when this whole thing sort of popped off, I got a text from somebody that was like, "Hey, this dude's like crazy." And I called that person back and we had a conversation, and our conversation ended up with him saying like, "Yeah, I had a conversation with this Stallions guy, a while back." And I was like, "You did? Like, what was that like? The nature of it, da-da-da-da." So I ended up getting their text message conversations between the two of them and reviewed them. And, you know, when you get to the Michigan manifesto portion, when you're reading through the text messages, your jaw sort of drops. And then for me, it became this isn't just background stuff. This is,
yeah,
we may be writing something.
I also need to interject one point. I kind of vaguely said it's been referred to as a manifesto. Connor Stallions,
that's a direct quote.
Connor Stallions referred to his 550 to 600 page document on how the program should be run as the Michigan Manifesto, correct?
Yes, that is a direct quote, to be clear. So yeah, there's a lot in there. This text message exchange was from early 2021. There's also a lot in there about like to inform that manifesto. Stallions wrote that he acquired a decade's worth of Navy football player data, GPA and test scores to inform a recruiting theory that he had that went into the manifesto. He graduated the Naval Academy in 2017. The Naval Academy confirmed to me. He also was in the Marines for a time. And while he was in the Marines, before he went full time with Michigan, while he was in the Marines, he also, via a relationship with Jed Fish, helped Arizona head coach Jed Fish organize some materials like his head coaching binders, head coaching book, before Fish went to, interview for some head coaching jobs. So yeah, there's a lot in the story. You know, the manifesto stuff is the big piece. But yeah, it was crazy. And, you know, I've sat on this information for like 4 days, which has been its own, stressor, which is very interesting, but
dude,
yeah,
that sort of wrote sucks. It up.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like when we're, so when you have stuff like that as a reporter and you have to wait, it is Richard, you tell him it's arduous.
And I used to, because I used to work with Ross Dellinger, who used to work at Sports Illustrated, and I used to give him hell all the time when we did this kind of thing, when we held stuff. And obviously there are great reporters across college football, Adam Rittenberg, Pete Thamel, Nicole Auerbach, Bruce Feldman, who are doing great work on the story and advancing it. So like, it's also a very competitive story because of that, right? It's Michigan. It's a very weird thing. So you're going to see a lot of stuff. And last night, my heart sank when, like, I believe Thamel released something, but it was more ticket focused stuff. As stuff comes out. So it's been a long 48 hours or however, 72 hours or however long. There are no notes to this podcast. We're just going to talk about this thing because we didn't really talk about it on Sunday during the hurry up. And we weren't able to talk about it this morning for the other big show.
No. Now, Stephen Godfrey, the thing that is interesting to me about this, about Richard's report, if I can put him off to the side for a moment. And where I think Richard mm-hmm. really advances this story, which I'm not going to summarize in a ton of detail sir. Because I think everyone is following
proud,
the story.
By the way.
You get the idea.
I'm very proud. Yeah. I'm very proud of Richard. This is good work. This is hard to do. It's hard to vet. It's hard to maneuver against not only the competition that Richard spoke of, but also to take these type, as these stories develop, you have to synthesize the information, deliver it in a way that it shows its importance. I also think Richard's piece, more than anything else I've read, speaks to something that I'm interested in, which is character and narrative in these things. Reciting a fact to me is, that's fine, that's part of reporting. But this kind of shows this person's character in a way that I haven't seen yet, and that he may be just
commitment.
Fucking crazier than a peach orchard boar, because holy shit.
Well, this is the thing that really interested me about Richard's reporting, and something else that's interested me about, you know, the pictures that are in Richard's story and some of the videos that have circulated, people going through game film from the last few years. He's really close to Jim Harbaugh. He's really close to Sharon Moore.
Physically, you mean? Physically.
Yes, physically, literally right there. He is clearly, and he brags about this, how close he is to Michigan's coordinators during the games. Where that takes me is just, and we talk about this every time. We talk about this every time a college football coach claims ignorance of anything. And usually it's something much more serious than we're talking about here. I do want to, you know, we are talking about alleged cheating. You can decide how serious it is to you, but we are talking about it. I think it the same way, and I'm not comparing the two, when Pat Fitzgerald's a guy who had no knowledge of hazing. Jim Harbaugh saying through a lawyer, Tom Mars, that he's got no knowledge if there's any of this kind of stuff. He has no knowledge of it happening.
Shout
in
out, Tom. Good luck with this one, baby. Hey, shout out, Tom. I know you're listening. Shout out, baby. Good luck on this one, baby.
I don't like it, or I don't trust it, and I have no reason. There's no reason for us to give credence that this control freak profession and one of the most serious, intense people in it, that anything to this effect could possibly be happening around him and he'd have no idea. I just don't believe it. And it's not a criminal trial, so I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to prove anything. It's just like I'm not going to take seriously that if this was as extensive as a bunch of Big Ten schools are claiming it is, and they're claiming this mm-hmm. via leaks to a lot of reporters right now, if there is fire where there is smoke here, you cannot separate the head man. And even if he didn't, I don't care. But it's just, I think that the line here from Jim Harbaugh that he's going to probably have to massage a little bit about a lack of awareness of any of this is really challenging, given a lot of the visuals and given Richard's reporting here. I think that's where it's most advanced.
So let's, I don't want to say put that to the side, because that's not really what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is, I think the people involved, this is a theory, by the way, by me. This is not reporting. I think the people involved made it very apparent to not tell Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh and not let Jim Harbaugh know. And I'm not saying whether they did or they didn't, or whether he did or didn't know. I don't know. But I do think part of this concerted effort was to not implicate the headman, because they're not stupid, and they knew what they were doing was against some rules. Now, personally, I don't think sign stealing off the TV copy or on the opposite sideline is wrong. I think it's actually pretty funny.
Which he brags about doing in the text messages that Richard reports on, and that, let's talk about that too. It's not illegal to steal signs off a TV copy or off of good old-fashioned in-person snooping at a game that you're playing.
Nope. And this happens I'm not going to say in every game, but it happens every week, I would say, thereabouts in college football to some degree. Regarding sign stealing in general and specifically, I know I've had multiple former players and coaches like hit me up. One hit me up last night and was like, hey, like we took their signs, took such and such a sign in such and such game. This is how we did it. I had one former quarterback text me a box score of a game that he participated in and was like, hey, spot where we got the signs. And you could see it in the box score. Like the team goes like 10 plays, 8 plays, 7 plays, 3-and-out, 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 3-and-out. Like it's so funny. I'm not saying every game where there's a massive change is sign stealing. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you know what happens, it's actually pretty easy to spot. Now, look, sign stealing as a specific practice, if I know you were going to run outside zone to the right, I still have to fit it up. I still have to take on the block. I still have to make the tackle. I still have to yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I still have to execute. What I think sign stealing is, in the most general way, in game at least, is sort of that approximate, like, oh, we know approximately they're going to run a cover zero blitz in this spot. So we know it. We know that they just signaled it. Here's our shot call to throw a shot play into it. Or we know they're going to blitz from the right, from the field. Well, here's where we're going to run right into the blitz. Or we're going to throw a slant right behind the blitz to throw where the blitz is coming from. It's more approximate in nature.
But still, the fact that it's done indicates an advantage.
You only have 40 seconds to pull this off. You only have 40 seconds to pull this off, by the way.
I am sensitive to the point, and Deion Sanders made this point this week, and you just kind of articulated some of it as well. You're sure, you still got to stop and play, but the fact that it is done indicates that there is a reason to do it. You don't do it, you know, even in the instances where it's completely legal, if it wasn't worthwhile, you would send your manpower elsewhere. You would have them do things other than try to steal signs.
And remember, if there was coach to quarterback and coach to green dot defensive player communication in college football, which beyond the obvious reasons, one of them is cost, which I am a little sensitive to. The other one is that coaches in college football understand that there is value in their sign stealing infrastructure to help them gain a competitive advantage. So they do not want coach to quarterback or coach to defensive player green dot communication, by the way.
It's so stupid. I touched on this in my column because Matt Rhule was I thought had a very measured approach to this with his experience, obviously at the NFL level. All this can go away tomorrow. If you are genuinely outraged at what Michigan has been doing, and then as we are telling you, every single person we know is doing, I pulled a quote from, and I'm trying to think if I've ever told it before on this podcast, and I hope I didn't then sell out my person because I used it anonymously in the post. Like, I bumped into somebody one time, a staffer who I knew from a previous gig or previous time. This is years back, in the elevator during a game. And he was like, oh, hey, yeah. Hey, man, what's up? I was like, oh, he's like, man, we've been up here stealing signs. I'm about to go down to the sideline. And he said it like that casually to a citizen, a normal, you know, like a journalist, no less. And he's like, how are your kids? Like, that's how fast it went. It was just like, that's how ubiquitous it is. That's how commonplace it is. All of it could go away tomorrow if the NCAA passed the rules. Like, and by the way, I say this every time now because I made a career on going after the NCAA, but let's talk about who the NCAA are. Richard's already said this, but the schools themselves could go in January when they meet for caucus and say, all right, let's just allow headsets right now. A quarterback and like what, Richard? Like one defensive player, like a middle linebacker, safety, whoever you want to give it to. And
the autonomy,
we're done with the crazy signs.
The power conferences could do it easily.
Yeah, we could be done with all this tomorrow.
Yeah, functionally, you'd have to give it to every quarterback, so five quarterbacks deep, and then yes, whatever defensive player you choose to be the designated in the NFL, they call it green dot, because if you look in the NFL, it's usually a safety or a linebacker has a literal green sticker on the back of their helmet that indicates that they have the radio in their helmet.
Yeah, so all this could be done tomorrow. If you're actually genuinely outraged about this, we'll get into the, like, because my column obviously was just, you know that feeling like you've heard about it in sports where the guy's so wide open that you're actually scared that you're going to miss him? That's how I felt writing the column about Michigan this week. Because given my own personal/professional travails with dealing with Michigan throughout the Bagman stuff, and then just watching stuff like the John U. Bacon, the catalog of Michigan veneration, watching them get down in the dirt and having to self-justify their actions, there's two sides of this. And I started my column this way. This is a dumbass fucking topic. It's a fucking dumb topic. That's why we're talking and telling y'all as much as we can about the ubiquity of sign stealing. When you talk about the pantheon of NCAA violations, this is like somewhere near the level of like Oklahoma giving out too much pasta. Okay.
Can I slightly push back on you about this point?
I mean, that's fine, boss. I'm just sitting here blocking half of Wolverine MAGA Twitter. They're a lovely bunch.
It is obviously true that you could adjust the rules. You could even just do it at the Power Five, the autonomy level, if it's a cost thing, and you know, MAC schools or FCS schools are worried about a cost disadvantage of being able to send people around to scout in person. I agree with that. I think it is a rule that doesn't need to exist. The everybody does it thing dies at a certain point, and it's not even, I don't know if other schools send people to games either on book or off book and do
the everybody does it in game.
In stuff. Game, everybody does it. But
yes.
But the sophistication of it, the network, and also,
yes.
And this is an important part
you're
of the
right.
reporting.
I should clarify that they just took, they just took it too far. You're right.
And this was not in the original reporting, but it has come out. I think Ross Dellinger at Yahoo reported this. There's been, as Richard said, a lot of good reporting on this, and he mentioned a lot of the people doing it. A specific allegation is that they're videotaping. And you can't do that. And I think the American public and American sports leagues have been pretty clear that we don't really have a collective appetite for videotaped sign stealing.
Or using Apple Watches.
If you're going to do
technology.
People are offended. And I think understandably so when you do it in that way. Ask the Houston Astros, ask the New England Patriots. It's not like Michigan is the first school or the first sports team that has ever had people make a fuss over electronic sign stealing. Like that has been kind of a red line that has made these things into bigger scandals in totally different sports leagues. So it's not like I want to point that out because I think there's a certain emerging narrative from Michigan corners that this is because the NCAA hates Jim Harbaugh, which I'm sure they do. But at least 10-11 other Big Ten schools seem to be furious about this. And it's not because they don't try to steal signs.
All memeing aside, they don't hate him any more or less than they hate the other 12, 14 high-profile coaches they've gone after in the last year. Like, this is not getting picked on. This is, before we go into the specifics, because I know we want to talk about how the Big Ten's going to respond to this, because I think that's the news item to take away from this. When we leave today's news, we're going to talk about what the conference is going to do, not the NCAA, because they're feckless. We know that.
They're also, they're also not done slow. They're done.
No.
They're not done with the 2020 COVID.
Dude, it takes a long time for all this shit to happen.
Jim took that self-imposed suspension earlier in the season does not mean that is done. That is not
they
close.
Are not. They are not being picked on here. I want to be super, super clear. And I said this to my alma mater when I covered that fucking tome of a story for 2.5 years. You didn't get picked on. You cheated bad. You cheated really dumbly.
Still allegedly.
That was the lead of... I tried to set the framework for my column because I've graduated out of the byline reporting at SB Nation, one of the advantages of that was I finally contacted people because I'm not really like a byline breaking news reporter anymore. People who are opposite of me, NCAA enforcement officers or people that, you know, I might have been opposed to. And I just said, hey, look, can we lay down arms for a second and compare notes? And I've done that with multiple people who work at the NCAA, or I should say worked. And I led my column with that anecdote where one of the former enforcement agents that I've spoken with in the last year just said, look, we don't catch cheaters. The system doesn't, that's not what the system is set up to do. We can't catch cheaters because they're good, right? Can we sit here right now and be like, Saban's cheating, Smart's cheating, Texas cheating, US? Yes, you can. Are they cheating? Stephen Godfrey, I'll say, yes, absolutely, they all are. But if you're good, you never get caught. The NCAA exists to take the dumbest, slowest animal in the pack and pick it off and serve as sort of an example or a scarecrow to the rest.
Yeah.
Right? One idiot
Don't be
gets,
faster than the lion, just
cold.
Be faster than the other gazelles. Right. Yeah.
So yeah. One idiot program, like, and it was Hugh Freeze, gets, or it was, it was almost Miami before they fucked that up. They get called out and they get held up as the example. And the NCAA says, we're doing our job. We're punishing the bad guys. So if this does come to pass, Richard, years from now, like this scandal is actually punished by the NCAA, it's not because they hate you. It's because you were dumb and slow. And in this case, you were just so insanely public about your conspiracy. How is this motherfucker a Marine? Should I be worried about the Marines?
Guys, I have seen Connor Stallions. Well, it's not public anymore. I have seen Connor Stallion's now deleted Venmo account. There is a Venmo transaction between him and Jay Harbaugh in 2017. There is a Venmo transaction in December, last December, between him and another Michigan student staffer that is in his Venmo. Guys, he used his own credit card, my former colleague Ross Dellinger reported, to buy tickets on secondary markets to the other Big Ten stadiums and other potential conference college football playoff opponents' stadiums. This is not a criminal mastermind, guys.
Well, Richard.
And as I spoke to a lawyer the other day, there is no such thing as a criminal mastermind. Because if you are a criminal mastermind,
we don't know who you are. So I was raised by cops. My old man was in the FBI. And one of the pushbacks that, like, especially at the federal level, that law enforcement has over, like, the fictitious depictions of crime is that you're dealing with these, like, Svengali mastermind, like, you know, shadowy conspiratorial. Most criminals. So, like, this Stallions case is a great example.
And I want to know. I want to know. We are using the term criminal relatively. It's NCAA justice.
This is in the dumb NCAA.
These aren't laws.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear.
It's all fake.
All of this is done
because he didn't. I guarantee you, Richard Stallions at the time did not either realize the severity. I think he operated with a level of ignorance and also a level of feeling like he would never be noticed. Because to do it that obviously in public, there almost has to be a lack of awareness to carry that out. Does that make sense?
He wasn't even trying to hide it. You're right. So there is a level of, in speaking to sources sort of around the story and reporting the story out, there is a level of self-importance that he was trying to project in a lot of the things that he was doing and operating and all that sort of stuff. So
that's the most interesting part of your story is that this is like, let's fuck all the stuff for a second, seriously, because we're going to talk about sign stealing. Okay, this is a culture in which Baylor went unpunished. All right, so we live in this fucked up funhouse mirror of a sport. But so this is why I'm just sitting here. I'm rolling my eyes at this because like the people who had power in the sport that could have punished Baylor fucking ran for the hills because it didn't affect their bottom line and their business model. Let's be clear about the world that we live in. What's interesting to me is that your piece through reportage created character, and that's really fucking hard to do. And I don't hand out compliments lightly. The character that I now see in this Stallions guy is not a lackey. It's not a foot soldier. It's more of an acolyte. It's more of like a trad Wolverine, if you will, who truly, more so maybe even than leadership, believed in the mission and took it upon himself as a zealot to do this shit. And I'm going to be honest with you.
This
might help Harbaugh because this guy looks like he was self-motivated like a crazy fan.
I literally was I quite literally was about to say, this is where you can backdoor me into the rogue actor thing.
Wow. Yeah.
You can get me there. You can get
Except
me.
He's standing
can I tell
on
you the problem, though? This is the problem. Aside from what Richard reported and all the pictures of how enmeshed he appeared to be, at least physically, with high-level members of the staff, I think that Michigan seems to have an issue, and I don't know if Jim Harbaugh has to clear every hire that this program makes. I don't know exactly how their organizational structure works in practice. But this sure seems like it would be a good time to have an athletic director who is in charge of your football program and who has oversight over the things your football staff does. I'm not sure that's the case at the University of Michigan in any meaningful way. And I think that Michigan has in now twice this year has gotten itself into some trouble by hiring people who are a bit unscrupulous in different ways. When Jim
we should also note that the whole Matt Weiss, former Michigan coordinator, computer crimes thing, that does not have anything to do with this. Again, that was another actual crime situation. That investigation is still being investigated by the University of Michigan Police Department. They have told my colleague, Pat Forty, that it has nothing to do with this, by the way.
Good to know, because I know that that is a – it's good to hear you debunk that, because I know that's been a rumor that's been floating around. Michigan needs to do a better job of who it hires to do regular jobs, dirt jobs, I don't know. Jim Harbaugh, back in the winter when he hires Shemi Schembechler, Bo's kind of fail son, a bit wild, ridiculous child to a recruiting job, And then Shemi has to resign like a very short time later because of his Twitter likes and his social media behavior. Do I think – look, guys, we're not naive. Like, do I think that there aren't a billion people in college football who hold insane, racist, January 6th adjacent views? Like, do I think that everyone sees the world the way that I see it in the sport that we love and we cover? No. But guess what? You hire people who are smart enough not to have their Twitter likes blow up their career and their ability to do their job. Maybe you could hire a military intelligence type dude to come and help you with a sign stealing operation, but don't hire one who's going to have his fucking Venmo get passed around the internet and his LinkedIn be going around the internet in which he adds explosive color commentary to the story. Like, you just got to hire people who are a little bit smoother operators at what you want them to do. None of this is a morality play,
dude.
But you're hiring people who suck at this, Jim.
Do you know Lord. How bad? Do you know how many times this is going to get brought up at Army Navy? Like the fucking up the op thing from a Navy guy. Like, this is going to be talked about.
This is
about
a funny thing,
years.
And people have pointed this out. This is an issue in the military with social media. I remember a story from years ago that I like to run, and I use the running app Strava that kind of maps out where you run. There were sensitive U.S. military sites that were given up by people going for runs and posting them on social
what?
Media.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, because they would go for runs at work and they would, oh,
yeah. Wow. I mean, it's like, well, it was a well reported out story. It's in the Guardian.
If you live in the DMV, I might be speaking from very personal experience here. If you live in the DMV, there's a lot of facilities and properties that are just called offsites for the various agencies, military and federal LEO. And they just exist in plain sight. So that's what I remember that story. But there's a lot especially in the Mid-Atlantic.
That's what I've got on this, is that I think it's an example of just like, you need to have your house in order.
Yeah. Why are we talking about that in Michigan? Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm still cracking up at the absurdity of all
you need
this.
To have your house in it's order. So and yeah, and I don't
subscribe to
want
to win the national title now.
I absolutely want Michigan. I want to make that abundantly clear. I want Michigan to win the national title.
Yeah,
like
I do
going
too.
Away at this point in time.
Yes.
Because again, you know,
yeah, walk the thought out. Because why?
I'm certain Michigan State changed every sign they had on Thursday afternoon. In fact, I'm pretty sure I saw that Michigan actually walked the play in from the quarterback would go to the sideline, get the play from a backup verbally, walk it into the huddle, tell the team, and then they'd run the play. You know how many points Michigan State scored on Saturday? Does anybody want to tell me?
As exactly. You say, fewer than the Hitler references that appeared on their video board.
Exactly. So, this Michigan team is, in its own right, obviously really, really good.
Yeah. And also, I'm not interested in like trying to sort out exactly how many points they get. Like, I don't care. And it probably wasn't that many.
No, I don't care either.
But that doesn't, I also don't want to do the ironically disaffected, oh, it's a dumb rule, fuck the NCAA. Like, it is, what is alleged is like pretty orchestrated cheating. And I understand why it's, like I say, they're not being picked up.
Alex. This is the fan base. This is the institution. This is the graduates who work in the national media, who have book deals, who propagate this horse shit ad nauseum, ad infinitum. This is the one brand that tells you it's better than you. They're doing it the right way. All of you are cheating. And the reason we were completely fucking obscure from the BCS on was because everybody else was cheating. Ohio State's paying players. The SEC is absolutely a moralist cesspool. Their own fucking head coach said this. Justin Fields took online classes, so fuck him. That shouldn't count. Like, every ticky-tack, dumb bullshit. Or, actually, and here's the thing. It's not even bullshit. I'll cut myself off. The thing that I've taken the most issue with these last couple of years, it actually hasn't been personal, believe it or not. And if you don't want to believe it, that's fine. The privilege that Michigan and that fan base and those people occupy is so stupid and naive as to how things actually happen with football players and their families and this labor class and where it came from and the fact it was being exploited for decades, that they occupied the position of, well, the rules say this, and so it has to be done the right way. So the arguments that I would get into with Michigan media and with Michigan fans for literally a decade now, because next year will be 10 years since I published Bagman, is that we don't disagree with you, Stephen. We think that athletes should be paid. In fact, our fearless leader Harbaugh says they should have rev share, right? But until that happens, which they fucking well know is not going to happen anytime soon, it should be illegal. Even though you have a ridiculous amount of families and players, athletes who have kids who are coming from below the poverty line, for years they wagged their finger at all those schools dropping bags, right? They wagged their finger at kids getting quick eligibility through online classes so that they could go on and have professional football careers and provide by doing the one thing that God let them do better than most. This is that fan base that told you the rules are the rules are the rules are the rules. And now I look at these sycophants today and I see all of a sudden a very liberal interpretation, a very different shift in political philosophy in terms of, well, you know, it's not about the spirit of the rule. Or actually, you know what? If it doesn't fit, we as a society should just rebel against that. So to every one of you World War II dads that towed the NCAA party line for as long as you did because you believed you were operating from a higher ground, guess the fuck what? You are as dumb, dirty, craven, and motivated by greed and success as every other fucking program in college football. Welcome to the pigsty, motherfucker.
And to all the Michigan fans who are just embarrassed by their alma mater's behavior, welcome to the Big Ten in another way. I mean, join us, Maryland fans, yeah, Michigan State fans. Yes. You know, hey, we're this moment comes for every fan base in the Big Ten, and I hope you're enjoying yours.
It will come for you all.
It was Northwestern a few months ago, probably be Rutgers tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Yeah. If
you're like Purdue right now, you gotta be fucking terrified.
What? Because I know this is where Alex wants to go to get us out of here. Like, the entire Big Ten is like holding hands here in Cuba. I don't know if you could get Purdue and Indiana to agree on if the sky is blue or not.
Yeah, and they're all whooping that ass right now.
All 13 of them are holding hands and saying kumbaya as we drop. I believe ESPN reported they had from 11 of the 13 non-Michigan Big Ten schools, they had ticket data. And then the next day they reported 12 and 13 were like, well, we just couldn't find it. We found it. Here it is.
Yeah, hey,
like,
hey, sorry, I was in a meeting. Hang on a second. I was in a meeting, guys. Let me get my shit in too. So the newsy point that we should now pivot to and talk about. The NCAA is slow, dumb, and shitty. We've established that. If you are looking at the 2023 college football season right now, and you are thinking or assuming, or maybe you're hoping against or hoping for, depending on your fandom, that something would happen to Michigan in the near term, I think right now the only way that could happen, and I don't think it will, as we record this right now because Richard's reporting, I think, tells the story of a zealous idiot. I don't know if it necessarily speaks to the definition conspiratorial organization that you would need to push forward, but Alex, but this is an evolving story. One of the beautiful things about this story is it has dripped and drabbed almost on like an hourly basis since it broke. And I believe in my gut, in my chest, in my journalism chest, we got more coming. If something happens, this is what I want to talk about. It will happen at the conference level. Richard, can you explain why it would happen at the conference level and it would also affect Michigan immediately or close to it?
Right. So here's the thing. We've sort of explained already the NCAA is not going to move very quickly on this. That's not the NCAA's it. The Big Ten, however, has a different challenge here, right? Similarly to the NFL, like the Big Ten commissioner has enshrined ingrained powers to where he can just kind of make the fuck up. Like Alex, you know, Alex is a Steelers fan. James Harrison got a lot of fines for a lot of years from a commissioner that at times was kind of just making it the fuck up. Antonio Brown, yeah. Whatever. So the Big Ten, Tony Petitti does have those, but there is going to be a lot, not going to be, is a lot of pressure on Tony Petitti from the schools in this league. And it's not just Ohio State. It's not just Penn State, man. This entire, all of these teams in this
league, the whole league
are going to say, yeah, it's not right. We're coming together. You've got to do something about this. And you've got to do something about this imminently. I don't know that that means something will be done. And by something will be done, I mean like the most drastic case is you ban them from the Big Ten championship game. And buddy, you want an absolute mess of a situation. What if undefeated Michigan cannot play in its Big Ten championship game, but is undefeated with wins against
Ohio State?
Congrats
to James Franklin on his one-loss season and getting into the playoff.
Dude.
Well, you know, we've seen two of the best programs in college football. We had to get a Penn State shot in, I guess. I don't know. Shout out to Philly. They're hurting this morning.
From a Jim Harbaugh perspective, this is interesting to me because all of the classic fundamentals, and look, this is just me reading the situation. I'm not doing reporting here, but like, look, clearly tried two off seasons in a row to go to the NFL, didn't get a bite. That dude, from my vantage point, is going to run for the fucking hills after this year. But here's the thing.
Yes,
there's correct. Only 32 of those jobs, and someone has to offer him one of them for him to have them.
Richard,
where this leaves him
let's just
is
say I'm Jim,
interesting.
Let's just say Jim Harbaugh. I'm Jim Harbaugh. I got my sport coat on. I got my resume in hand like this. I got my mom did my tie for me. And I show up at the Chicago Bears facility. And I have my resume, Richard. And I'm ready to apply for the job of Chicago Bears head coach. Richard, can you tell everybody as I go through and I shake my hands in the building and I meet everybody and we talk about the future of the Chicago Bears, whose desk am I going to sit at in that process? whose desk am I going to sit in front of, I should say?
At one point in time, Kevin Warren is going to have some sort.
God, I hope it happens.
And I don't know how much juice Kevin Warren has on the football side. I don't know. But at some point in time, I believe it is my opinion that Kevin Warren is going to have some sort of voice in whether they hire this guy or not, if it comes down to it. My opinion of the situation is that he's not Michigan's head coach next year. That's just an opinion.
No.
That is not reporting. I'm just saying, like, at what point in time does, on both ends, on one point in time, does Michigan not just say, hey, man, kind of enough here. Like, enough's enough. And then on the other hand.
Well, we talked about that before the two scandals broke this year. Like, you and I kind of couched it last cycle as saying, like, how long is Michigan going to put up with this insane, like, you know, this just sort of perpetual carousel problem? And there has to be an expiration date on that, because I don't care what anybody says. When you're that close to allegedly, rumoredly taking the ex-NFL job year after year, there is a deleterious effect on your current program. I believe that.
And I think that, like, when certain NFL jobs open, if they are tracking towards them being open, I think it may be just a handhold we ride off into the sun. And that's also why it gets exponentially funnier if they win the national championship.
Oh, my goodness.
If he were to, like, ride in the sunset, finish the drill, finish the mission, you know, he would have ran it back with J.J. McCarthy, and they win the national championship. I just, it would be in the wildest way, hilariously poetic in a lot of different ways. Again, it's just an opinion on my end. It's just connecting dots at this point in time.
From my perspective, this isn't even like a top 50 moral failing of a college football program in the last, like, I don't know, 10. Like, no. That's not how I approach it. I just think like it is bad in the way that is going to make their peers really, really, really pressure for there to be some consequences. And I think when that's on the table, like, you go, like, that's time to leave. And like, he's been trying to leave for a couple of years. We know this. It just, if you kind of go from A to B to C, it just makes sense that this is winding to a conclusion sometime soon. And I'm fascinated to see how it ends.
Just to put a cherry on top, as we are recording this, and I'm waiting for him to give me permission to use this. Yes, he just did. I have another computer open here because it's been, as we explained, it's been a day. I just got a text from Mark Innes. I don't know if you know Mark. He's a radio show host in Louisville. Longtime friend. Goes back to the old SB Nation.
Oh, I know exactly where this you're going.
Correct. And this is how we're going to end this. And here's the deal. I know we have a lot of support, like, at SED. And when we do, you know, when we help with, like, charities and various other efforts that we've done, I do not hate Michigan. A large portion of your fan base tried to make my professional life miserable, and so I will take every chance I can get to go in on them. However, I do not hate Michigan. I just want to point one more thing out. Mark, our buddy in Louisville, Louisville Cardinal fan, Louisville Cardinal graduate, this is completely unsolicited. Alex, this happened 35 seconds ago. As a Louisville guy, few things would make me happier than the thought of Michigan fans having to defend a title tainted by scandal.
Wow. Look.
Go Blue.
Trey Burke. The block was clean.